This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome to the Bunker Daily. I'm Jacob Jarvis. As a new host here, I'm going to put some cards on the table. I'll whisper this one. I'm a millennial. One of those pesky, entitled upstarts you've heard all about. But even though I'm still pretty young, I reckon, I'm 30 this year, there is a group of new kids on the block starting to make me feel old. Gen Z, or Gen Z if you prefer. They're full of energy. They can code, they can edit videos, and they actually care about things. And not content with outstripping me when it comes to skills and morals, they also have an ever-evolving list of words to keep me clueless as to what they're actually talking about. But here with me today, I have two guests to decipher Gen Z and translate their latest slate of slang. Olive Pemetsi is features editor for The Face magazine. Hi, Olive.
Hi, Jacob.
And Jade Wicks, also of The Face, who writes about all things culture, both in the real world and in the deepest depths of the internet. Hi, Jade.
Hi, Jacob.
Thanks for both for being with me today. Let's get started. Jade, you're one of those Gen Zers, which is roughly people born from 1997 to 2012. What do you think sets this generation apart from generations that came before it?
This is a difficult one. I feel like, so I'm 96, so I'm kind of like on the cusp of Gen Z slash millennial. I feel like I have Gen Z vibes, but I also like am quite millennial in my heart. But I do think that what kind of sets Gen Z apart, I guess, is it's one of the first generations to have properly kind of grown up with smartphones and social media, and they're much more aware of themselves as kind of like a brand and their image as a brand. So they're more likely to kind of pick up and drop slang terms kind of as quickly as it takes to post and delete a picture on Instagram. And it's much more quickfire in that way. Yeah, I guess awareness of themselves as a brand is what kind of sets them apart from other generations, that kind of awareness. You know, when you're at a party back in kind of like 2000, you weren't worried about pictures turning up and your employer seeing them, and you know that's stopping you from getting a job at some point. But now, you know, it's much more curated.
Yeah, I mean, even when I was at university, which isn't that long ago, I remember getting my first iPhone. I'm starting to make myself feel old straight away, but I might as well lean into that. And before that, I had this awful smartphone which just took the like most ludicrous photos. They were just so bad. And so, yeah, I mean, how does that feel, that kind of, you know, when you're doing an experience like Freshers? I mean, I probably didn't revel myself in glory doing something with my behaviour during that point, but there's maybe about 10 blurry pictures of me. How does it feel when you're going through those points in life knowing that everything could be documented and sort of blown up? How did that make you feel?
Well, I guess it's scary and there's a lot of pressure, and it makes you feel much more self-conscious about what you kind of put out there. And I suppose now with TikTok as well, which wasn't so much of a thing when I was growing up, you kind of, when you lean into slang and you lean into trends, it's kind of to take part in what kind of seems cool in that moment, if that makes sense. It's a bit more calculated, I guess, than it would be when you're kind of at Freshers and then you're putting all the pictures up on Facebook and like tagging all your mates in them.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Do you think it's easier to classify Gen Z as well because sort of less than half of Gen Z are adults at this point? There's only a small chunk that are 18 to 25. So maybe, you know, when we speak about other generations, all of them are adults and it's maybe a bit more of a sort of amorphous chunk of people. Whereas with Gen Z, that's only 7 years worth of people. So do you think that maybe makes them a little bit easier to pigeonhole maybe than the older generations, just because there are less in the adult world, really?
I don't know. I feel like we kind of have a bit of a short memory when it comes to that, and we've actually pigeonholed every generation as they've been coming up, like the Gen Xers, the millennials and stuff. Like, they used to have like covers on Time magazine where it was like, this is the lazy generation. I think, was that with millennials? I think
millennials are the lazy generation.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of. So I think, yeah, we're kind of very quick to pigeonhole everyone. Yeah. It's hilarious that we kind of say those same things about Gen Z now when actually that's what we were saying about millennials kind of like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've got plenty of avocado on toast and entitled jibes for a long time. Even though now, yeah, I mean, I'm a millennial and that's like 30-ish to 40 or something like that, roughly. Mm. So it's sort of, you know, that's a huge, it's a huge breakup, really. Yeah. So, Olive, every generation has had slang, but Gen Z seems to have, to me, it seems like they have more. Do you think that's just social media making it more present, or is that a bit of an oversimplification?
Yeah, I think social media does play a huge role in it. I think the fact that you can be online and you have access to all of this slang, like I think before probably slang was a lot more localised. So you would have UK slang, you would have London specific slang, you would have Northern slang. But now you have people in America saying words like fam, which is very London based slang, and it sounds kind of weird coming out with an American accent sometimes, but because it's able to like kind of travel over the internet, people are picking up all these terms. And then I also think there is a lot of community online, so a lot of the slang is born out of these communities, like you know, kind of fandoms or gaming communities. That's where you see a lot of the roots of the kind of slang that we're going to talk about today that comes from those kind of subcultures online. So I think there's just more space for people to develop this language and kind of layer it, and like a lot of those languages also like very layered, so you're like just building on stuff that has been said before. So you had, you know, at one point people were saying that's hot, then they were saying that's fire, now we're saying that's lit, and it's just the same thing but just a different version of it, which is like growing with each generation.
Do you think some of it comes from a kind of crossover between cultures sometimes as well, because that's accelerated, you know, we sort of see maybe musically, you know, you see these genres coming out where it's just two, you know, maybe diametrically opposed things thrown together, and then suddenly they're sort of, you know, so it's like, I don't know, you get these hardcore bands who dress like they're all rappers, and then you get these metal bands who are party people or whatever, like this kind of weird sort of, you know, mix of different people. Do you think that's part of what's been accelerated, and that means words just get shared kind of naturally because people maybe just mixing more with different groups than they would have before?
Yeah, I think so. I think genres as we once knew them have kind of been thrown out the window. You're like you say, you'll have like pop punk artists collaborating with rappers, and you know, I think, you know, we've seen emo make a real big comeback in the past year or so, and at once upon a time emos were like their group and you wouldn't like socialize with them, whereas everyone's blending together. And I think that's kind of also a very Gen Z thing, the kind of like focus on the individual and the kind of like you do you mentality, and not so much being in a clique or like wanting to like have your people and just know those people. You want to like actually be involved in a bit of everything and kind of like put everything together for your own individual style.
Jade, with the slang, to you, what's the point? You know, is it to signify identity? Is it to keep oldies out a little bit, or is it just for a laugh? Is there a kind of motivation behind wanting to use slang for people?
I feel like it's kind of not really that deep, like especially when you're in the moment. Like I think at its core, slang is like a shorthand. It's like an inside language that you use to kind of build a community with people. It's kind of just like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of thing. And then it kind of takes on a life of its own, as things do with the internet. Mm. So I think that's where it's kind of born from, but it's not necessarily something that is created with the purpose of keeping people out, I don't think. I think it's just, I guess it's just like trends, like fashion trends and stuff like that. It's the same with language. It just kind of takes on its own form and then morphs to include more and more people with the internet.
An early one to ask, that deep. Explain that deep to me, please.
That deep means that it's just not that meaningful. It's not got ulterior motives. It's not something that, I mean, I feel like with language, it's difficult because you look back on it and, you know, maybe in 10 years it will be that deep because it will be interesting to study in terms of the culture and what was going on in that moment. But in the moment, when people come up with slang, you know, most of the time it's just a joke. You know, it's nothing that really is set out to reflect like a cultural shift to begin with. Yeah.
Let's get on to some of the more popular words that I've seen kicking around the internet. I've gone down into the, you know, the content cave, so you don't have to. Olive, what does it mean to stan someone?
Okay, so to be a stan is to be an obsessive fan, like to the, it's the most you can be obsessed with a celebrity. So the term kind of originates from Eminem's song Stan.
Okay.
So Eminem takes on a voice of one of his fans who is writing letters to him about how much he loves him, and then he becomes increasingly angry when he doesn't respond and eventually goes on to kill himself and his girlfriend, which is pretty dark, but in the modern context, it's just kind of been appropriated to represent fanatical fans who will, you know, start fan pages, tweet every single time they do something, get them to the top of the charts at whatever cost, just support them through it throughout everything.
That's why BTS are trending on Twitter every single day.
Absolutely.
I suppose.
The BTS army.
Yeah.
They get out there.
Jade, what's the appeal of stanning to Gen Z? I don't know, when I was maybe a bit younger, it kind of felt like, you know, if someone was cool and just looked a bit cool, you didn't really care about who they were so much. You'd just go, oh yeah, their music's kind of cool and I'd like to look like that. Mm. So I like it. What's the appeal to, you know, that stanning mentality seems to be a little bit, I'll use one of my new words now, a little bit deeper than that, I suppose.
Well, I don't think this is a uniquely kind of Gen Z phenomenon. Like, I liken it to kind of supporting your favourite sports team. Like, you uplift them tirelessly through all their wins and losses, and your allegiance to them never shifts, and you kind of bond with others over the whole experience. And you can kind of look back all the way to the 60s with Beatlemania and how, you know, people were reacting to the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and I think that's really carried over to now with, you know, the Beehive, Beyonce, Rihanna's Navy, Lady Gaga's Little Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that supporting a musician or a star is kind of, it's kind of vital to your coming of age, isn't it? To your sense of identity, where you kind of start discovering what you like and what kind of style you're into. And then you kind of meet people through that, like-minded people. And I do think that the internet has kind of broadened that sense of community so widely. I think it's a lot easier to kind of get entrenched in that kind of stan mentality when you're kind of within the confines of your screen, if that makes sense. It's kind of, I wouldn't call it kind of, not radicalized, like maybe that's the wrong word, but it's much easier, I think, to get kind of sucked into it than it would have been pre-internet, for example. But, you know, that's not to say that all stanning is bad. Like, I wrote down in my notes that, like, say, Britney fans were instrumental in kind of setting her free from her, like, abusive conservatorship. So, you know, stanning can be a good thing, but it's when it kind of crosses that line into kind of obsession that it can be a bit detrimental, I reckon.
As of right now, hosting this podcast, have I got main character syndrome?
Main character syndrome? I mean, maybe, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay.
So I guess to describe it, main character syndrome is when you believe or you act as though you're the main character in your own film. So I think probably like the ultimate example of a main character is Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City, because she's very self-absorbed. She doesn't really listen to her friends that properly. She's just me. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people write about this, actually, and they talk about main character syndrome as this kind of really narcissistic and self-absorbed personality trait. Mm-hmm. But I first started seeing this pop up in kind of how-to videos, in the context of, like, how to become the main character in your life. And those videos were essentially trying to, like, teach young girls mainly about how to put themselves first and how to kind of embody this confidence as though they were the main character of their own film, and how you can romanticize your life. That's another phrase that people use, and just start living like you're the star, basically.
Because Jade spoke about the pressures of social media before, but do you think this maybe actually shows a little bit of the, well, I'm sure there's a huge positive side to social media too, in that it's, you know, encouraging people to be themselves, and sort of there is a side of positivity before it becomes toxic positivity, which is a whole other thing. But, you know, do you think that shows the good side of social media too?
Yeah, I think it kind of like, there's like always a back and forth. So you always have like one trend and then you see something else come out of it, the main character syndrome. And I think, so I mentioned romanticize your life, and I feel like that came post everyone trying to kind of embody this kind of insta perfection on social media, and feeling like, you know, if you weren't out on like a 5-star holiday, then you weren't living your best life. Whereas if you just romanticize the normal stuff, like reading a book and actually learning and enjoying that, then you can romanticize that and be the main character and actually picture yourself in a film, sat by a rainy window, reading a book. Like, that'd be quite a romantic scene. So I think it's just kind of like, it was a way to switch the mentality so you're not feeling like you're missing out, FOMO, and you're actually just embracing you and who you are, and even the like mundanity of your life.
I like that idea, because sometimes I do open my Instagram and I just think, why does everyone I know just be in Dubai at an infinity pool all the time? And I'm in the office. I'm just like, how? I just don't get it. But that's what you sort of feel like sometimes. So some of these phrases seem to relate to phases as well. So Jade, what's goblin mode?
Oh my God, goblin mode. So Olive and I are like the self-professed goblin mode correspondents at the thing. Like, we're just obsessed with this phrase. So the roots of the term actually go all the way back to 2009, when someone kind of inconspicuously tweeted it, but it actually resurfaced when everyone's favourite celebrity, Julia Fox. Well, there was actually a fake headline that suggested that she'd broken up with Kanye West because he didn't like it when I went goblin mode. which was disproven. It wasn't true, but it went viral immediately, and so many people kind of latched onto it as a new vibe, aesthetic, way of life, whatever you want to call it. And I kind of think that at its core, it's all about embracing chaos. It's the ultimate anti-aesthetic, and it's kind of giving a finger to the self-improvement movement, which is kind of what Olive mentioned a second ago about kind of having this kind of insta-perfect life. And there was a trend on TikTok called That Girl, How to Be That Girl, and it was kind of putting such an emphasis on being wholesome, doing wholesome things and living this wholesome life. And it's like, the world is on fire. Everything's burning outside. You know, sometimes you want to spontaneously combust with rage. You want to rip your hair out. Come around on all fours, foraging for snacks around your flat. Like, that that is very goblin mode to me, is when you just lose all inhibitions and you just begin to kind of be your truest, most feral self.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like my dream lifestyle, really. That's I like presenting this podcast. That's cool. But if I could just be crawling around looking for snacks at all time. So, yeah, if there's any jobs being a snack crawler, if anyone wants to ring in, that's fine. They can do. Let's do a little quick fire round to get through a few more of these. So, Olive, what is the ick?
The ick, another favourite in the Faith Office. So the ick, I think this mainly came from Love Island, or it was at least popularised on Love Island. And it is kind of like this feeling that you get when you're dating someone and you just suddenly don't fancy them anymore. And it's the ick. You can't describe it, but it's just this feeling of disgust. And it's just the biggest turn-off in the world. But it can be, I think the reason it's become so popular, especially in the past couple of months, is that people have been describing their icks online. And they're so specific that it's hilarious. And so I remember seeing one where a girl got the ick because she saw that this guy owned a printer. Or or someone got the ick when she and her boyfriend went to Harry Potter World and he was riding a broomstick in front of a green screen, and that gave her the ick. So things like that are just so specific but hilarious, and you can also kind of understand why they'd be off-putting and not very sexually charged, I guess you should say. So that is that feeling. I mean, we've written a lot about it. We have a whole column dedicated to the ick. It's called ick bait.
I'm thinking about the times I've potentially caused ick right now and may not sleep this evening because of that. I ponder,
don't go into it.
Jade, poggers.
Okay, poggers, I'm not going to lie, we struggled with. When you sent that over, we didn't really know what it was, but we did some research. So it actually refers to a kind of specific Twitch emoji, which depicts a surprised-looking Pepe the Frog. You know Pepe the Frog?
Which has some other connotations,
some kind of 4chan alt-right connotations. So what started out as being kind of like a harmless toad cartoon has kind of slipped into that kind of more nefarious side of the internet. But basically, it has kind of moved over from Twitch into TikTok to basically mean great, something really sick, really cool. Kind of like Peng adjacent, I would say.
Peng adjacent, like class.
Like banging.
Okay, so it's like, I don't know, cool. Really? Cool. Yeah. Cool. Wicked, maybe. That would be that's the naughties version of poggers, for sure. I'd say. No cap. What does no cap mean?
No cap means, it's basically a way of saying that you're not lying when you're telling a story that seems particularly hard to believe. Like, no cap, like you're tweeting this kind of wild story of something that happened to you, and then you end it with no cap. Or cap means someone is lying.
Yeah, well, like, cap, like high cap was used in rap a lot, like in the 80s and 90s, to like say that you're like exaggerating, or like you're boasting too much and you're actually exaggerating the things that you've got. Whereas now rappers will use it to like boast about the things that they've got, but then say no cap. Like, I legitimately own a Bentley, so you can't come for me.
Okay. So it's like, you know, so people can not be accused of sort of bigging up their credentials sort of thing. They can say no cap. Like, this is
legit. Like, we're on the Bunker podcast today. No cap.
Yeah. When you say someone's capping, it's like they're lying. They're
bullshitting you. Well, if we spoke about goblin mode, I feel like this one maybe is in the same sort of realm. Feral Girl Summer.
Feral Girl Summer, yeah. Yes. It's very goblin mode adjacent, I would say. Yeah, it's just about going feral, letting loose, releasing your inhibitions, kind of getting rid of that kind of perfection, going out in last night's makeup, staying up until 3 a.m.
Has post-COVID maybe brought this out because people are thinking, look, I've been trapped inside forever, so now it's time to sort of devolve a little bit and do what I like.
Definitely, yeah. I think there's like a lot of TikToks knocking about of girls saying, you know, I've had enough of this perfect, that girl aesthetic again.
Yeah,
it's like kind of a backlash to that. I'm just going to go feral this summer. I'm just going to go wild. I'm going to go to the festivals. I'm going to roll around in the dirt. I don't know. It's definitely like a mood, a vibe.
Okay. You two haven't made me feel that old, but you've made me really wish I was younger at the same time, is what I say. Jade, simp.
Okay, so simp basically means, it's a word to describe a man, usually, who's kind of overly attentive / submissive towards a woman, and who's kind of really going the extra mile to try and woo her.
Okay.
So, say, commenting excessive fire emojis under a picture she's posted on Instagram, getting flowers delivered to her office. It's more something that's used within the kind of dating process.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a means to an end. Like, this guy wants sex, this guy wants something more, so he's simping. He's simping for a woman.
So it's sort of maybe behaviours that on the surface could look like, hey, I'm just being nice, I'm being friendly, but really there's probably a bit of a, there's a clear angle there as to what they're doing that everyone can see.
It usually applies to more kind of over-the-top behaviour as well. Okay. This guy's really going for it, we know what he wants, type of thing. And it is definitely used as an insult to men to kind of make them feel stupid for doing this kind of thing.
So is it sometimes kind of, you know, guys who aren't getting the message, like maybe they're not that interested, they're like, oh, well, but maybe if I send 20 roses to their office, they'll be like, oh, changed my mind.
Yeah, someone who's simping, like particularly on social media, you know, if someone's like consistently replying to a girl's tweets and she's not really giving anything back, it's like, oh my God, this guy's simping.
Yeah.
Simping for this woman.
Olive, this one, normcore.
Normcore. So this one, I feel like kind of popped up in the early 2010s, and it was coined by a trend forecasting agency called K-Hole, and it was used to kind of describe this kind of very normal aesthetic, like kind of dad jeans, plain t-shirt, blazers, just like very clean, timeless clothes, brands like Uniqlo, that kind of vibe. And I feel like we've kind of moved away from normcore a little bit in that, you know, kind of got this like really maximalist DIY aesthetic that's coming through at the moment in fashion. However, I would say that the legacy of normcore is all of the other cores that we also now have.
So, yeah, I saw you wrote a piece about this. Well, you called it namecore, so you added to this core problem.
Adding to the problem,
But yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah, so I think people just love to kind of identify trends online. So, and one of the easiest ways to do that is to just add core on the end of a word. So you've got like goblin core, you've got clown core, dino core, fairy core, regency core, which is like very inspired by Bridgerton. But yeah, I think people love to coin a trend name. I think part of it is kind of a bit tongue-in-cheek.
It's okay.
Kind of all part of this kind of multi-layered joke of the internet. But at the same time, once you coin a trend, then you can hashtag it. You can find more people who are using that trend.
There is this, you know, split between generations people make out, which I don't always actually feel that much. I've got older friends, I've got younger friends, and I don't, you know, I don't see someone and think, you're Gen Z, you're not. But do you think, maybe on a serious note, we've had a nice little joke here, but if we all just did put in a bit of effort to understand each other a little bit more, these splits would not feel as much as they are. So maybe we see TikTok, and if, as an older person, you just think, what's going on? But, you know, if you just invest a little bit of time and sort of understand the motivations behind Gen Z, you'd kind of realise, yeah, they, you know, they're not particularly different. They're just a bit younger and they're having a laugh, really.
Yeah, I think I would definitely agree with that. I think there's this tendency from maybe older people to kind of look at TikTok and be like, oh my God, it's this instant gratification, you know, where is the culture going and that kind of thing. But again, it's really not that deep. Like in the same way that millennials had things that they were interested in or kind of Gen Xers, it's a similar thing for Gen Z now. You know, there's always this kind of relentless pursuit for newness and stuff, which is where a lot of these kind of terms come from. So, yeah, I think, you know, you don't need to know all the slang terms, I don't think, to engage with Gen Z a little bit more. But maybe engaging with, you know, platforms like TikTok as a whole would make more sense in terms of kind of fostering those relationships. But I don't think knowing the slang necessarily is like vital at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, just I think I saw this when I published that name call piece. A lot of people were sharing it, being like, oh my God, kill me, or it's gone too far, like they're just making it worth now. And it's like, well, yeah, they are making it worth, but that's part of the fun of it. Like that, if you can just kind of, I guess it's not snobbery, but it's just this kind of like aversion to anything new.
Yeah.
If you can just like take a moment to like appreciate the humour and the layers behind it, then everyone will get on just fine.
Yeah. That's ended on a very wholesome note, I'd say, right there. So yeah, thank you very much, Jade, for being with me today.
Thank you very much for having us, Jacob.
And thank you, Olive, for being with us as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been really fun.
Listeners, remember, there's a new Bunker Daily every Wednesday, Thursday and Sunday. We'll start your week on Mondays, the main panel show on Tuesdays and the Culture Bunker on Saturdays. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any new episodes. You can also back us on Patreon. There's a link in the show notes or just search Bunker Patreon Podcast. This is Jacob Jarvis, signing out of the Bunker. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Bunker Daily was written and presented by Jacob Jarvis. The producers were Jacob Archbold, Jelena Sofroniewicz, and Alex Rees. The lead producer was Jacob Jarvis, and the audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Group editor Andrew Harrison. Theme tune by Kenny Dickinson. The Bunker is a Podmasters production.